from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
58 degrees. So many to choose from this morning, but for a change, it's actually not the weather for all the negative reasons. The weather is beautiful. Donald Trump says his campaign has been hacked by Iran.
Very interesting story. This is Carissa Lawson with CBS.
Over the weekend, former President Donald Trump said his campaign was hacked, and he blamed Iran. Both Politico and the Washington Post reported that they had received what appeared to be internal Trump documents, including research on Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance, from an anonymous email account.
And it's fascinating because more and more we're seeing, you know, other countries potentially have the influence of hacking into all kinds of different accounts.
The number of times that I have read stories in the last maybe 2 or 3 years in which we're learning that criminals in North Korea, Russia, Iran, right?
Yeah, and
cyber threats.
Tonight, Elon Musk will do an interview with Donald Trump, and there have been no time limits or questions. He said there's nothing been taken off the table.
I think it would be fair to say at this point that in terms of reaching people with news and information, that Elon Musk is now the world's leader in this area. He purchased Twitter, and the predictions were it was going to go badly, and it's been the opposite of that. Their Twitter is growing, and it's now the number one source of information worldwide.
But he's made
that amazing?
He's made himself the center of it.
Yes, he has.
In other words, he didn't purchase it and just let it roll.
No.
He is the face. And in fact, he's been asking, should they change the name back to Twitter? Yes or no?
I didn't pick up on that.
Oh, yeah. He's been asking yes or no, but he is a big supporter of Donald Trump, so you can expect a interview that would be favorable.
The other thing that that I find interesting about Elon Musk is that this is just one facet of his, you know, his interests, that what he spends his time on. We have Starlink, these satellites that provide internet service around the world. You can take a Starlink receiver anywhere with you and stay in touch. Then you have, of course, his space interest, the programs that he's helping to fund. And then you have Tesla. This is really an interesting guy.
And he has...
I think this you could consider him to be the Ford of our era. The Henry Ford, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, by all accounts, eccentric in ways, too. Like many people who are creative are. But it's not going to be like a journalistic 101.
No, I wouldn't expect that.
No. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden sat down for the first time one-on-one with Robert Costa of CBS. Sunday morning aired it yesterday. And one of the interesting aspects was why he finally decided to drop out of the race.
And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic. You'd be interviewing me about why did Nancy Pelosi say, why did so... And I thought it'd be a real distraction, number one. Number two, when I ran the first time, I thought of myself as being a transition president. I can't even say how old I am. It's hard for me to get out of my mouth. But things got moving so quickly, it didn't happen. And the combination was that I thought it was a critical issue for me, still is, not a joke, maintaining this democracy. But I thought it was important because although it's a great honor being president, I think I have an obligation to the country to do the most important thing we can do, and that is we must defeat Trump.
And it goes on from there, but that was his answer to why he stepped down from the campaign. Meanwhile, the Olympics end in Paris, and by all accounts, they put on a big show.
Yeah, and Team USA did very, very well.
Yeah, 126
medals. We have a lot to be proud of.
Yep. 40 gold. China was behind them with 91.
Oh, I was watching a video, and I don't know which American athlete this was that I was watching, but this beautiful young woman was on the podium, and they played the national anthem. I just choked up.
Yeah, those
moments. It was just the look on her face, just wow.
They kind of...
So touching.
Come, and you think, okay, who's going to watch the Olympics? And then you kind of get sucked in, and then the individual stories of dedication and sacrifice and the drama on a world stage. And then you find, different things that interest you, and you start really rooting, and then it goes by so fast, then it's over. And you got to wait 4 more years in this case.
Couple of quick weeks.
Coming back to Los Angeles, and of all things, Tom Cruise swooped in, literally.
The closing ceremonies were a surprise, really, I think.
Yeah, and they grabbed the torch and brought it, is going to bring it to Los Angeles.
Still, for me, my most treasured Olympic memory would be Muhammad Ali holding the torch.
Yeah, there are many, and there are many memories made this week, and that's for sure. And the Northern Lights, spectacular, so rare for us to have a chance to see them. Now, this is the second time.
Twice in 1 year. Wow. We've had a lot of everything this year, haven't we?
And a meteor shower on top of that. And it was clear enough last night to see all of this. So
you can watch again tonight.
Yeah, you probably.
The meteor shower will be on full display.
And this is a long-anticipated return because he was unable to perform. And so people who had tickets for that show are going to be in attendance. And so he has two shows and probably could have sold out Acrisure Stadium if they wanted. So Thursday Sunday night, the boss is back. And speaking of music and concerts, how about Aerosmith decided last week?
Yeah.
They're done.
Steven Tyler has some kind of an injury in his vocal cords.
Yeah.
And it makes it not possible for him to perform.
Same thing happened with John Bon Jovi, vocal cord issues. So
at one point many years ago, Elton John had to have surgery for nodules on his vocal cords. And there was a lot of worry that he wasn't going to have it anymore.
And yet,
he wound up doing well.
But there is Mick Jagger at 81 running around like he's an Olympic athlete.
Awesome.
Yeah, so...
Hey, talking about athletes, I want to bring this up. Do you know what's going on in Cleveland right now with the Browns?
Yeah, they're looking... They just built a stadium. I say just built.
That's not an old ballpark there up by the lake. It's a nice one.
No, if they had old War Memorial Stadium in the day.
That thing, the old horseshoe,
it was brutal.
Yeah. Well, now they've revealed a plan in the last week for a new domed stadium, which would be built way away from downtown Cleveland in Brook Park is the suburb's name. But now this plan has hit a snag. According to this story I'm reading from the Associated Press, it says the team owners D and Jimmy Haslam and Cuyahoga County officials are backing a proposed $1.2 billion renovation of the current stadium, and they said are committed to keeping the NFL franchise in downtown Cleveland for generations to come. But they put out the renderings of this new state-of-the-art stadium they wanted to build, and the first thing that went through my mind was, you don't put a dome stadium in Cleveland. You don't do that in Pittsburgh. We play in the snow, right?
Well, that has been a discussion because, obviously, if you can control the environment when there's inclement weather, but some people like the fact that the teams have to play in bad weather. I remember just a couple of seasons ago, it was like 20 below zero.
Right.
It was frigid.
I was at the last home game, outdoor home game, for the Minnesota Vikings. It was a bitter cold day, and I loved it. And... That's just football. That's the kind of weather we play in. So, but what's going on in Cleveland right now? We're eventually going to have this conversation in Pittsburgh. What's going to happen with AccraSure down the road? How many more decades are we going to go before we have to figure out what's next? And there's going to be a what's next, right?
It's not decades. The contract, as I understand, the lease comes up pretty soon. It's right around the corner.
Yep.
So, that discussion will take place.
Can you picture in your mind the Steelers not playing downtown? Can you picture that? I can't even imagine it.
Well, they used to say that in Boston, but they years ago moved it out to Foxborough, which is, way out from the city.
Yep.
So that would be like moving the Steelers stadium to Washington County. Now,
bang, right on.
Somewhere like that.
Yep.
Not going to happen.
I can't visualize that.
You got to be in downtown. Yeah. You got to be, as Bobby Brister said, by that lake.
Yeah. Over the weekend, I happened to see another retrospective on Three Rivers. It was a fun watch.
By the way, we have secured, and we're going to announce tomorrow morning at 7:35, a Lifetime Achievement Awardee for our hometown heroes. And I think everyone will be happy about it. They're going to go, well, that makes perfect sense.
I'm starting to have an idea what you might be talking about here.
You wait till you hear, and then I thought...
Don't tell me. I want it to be a surprise, but I think I know who we're talking about.
7:35 tomorrow, we're going to announce that. We're pretty excited about it. By the way, nominations are open for our hometown heroes. If you want to nominate somebody who's doing incredible things in our community, by all means, go to kdkradio.com. Look up our nomination page. This is the Big K Morning Show. Thank you for choosing us. Hope you had a good weekend. I'm Larry Richard, along with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. This headline caught my attention yesterday. Xylazine still ravaging Pennsylvania and moving west. And many people might not know what it is or why it's a concern. And joining us from Gateway Rehabilitation Center is Dr. Anthony Gentile. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you today?
Good. Appreciate your time. I want people to be aware of what this drug is. So describe xylazine.
Xylazine was developed in the early 60s to be used as a large animal sedative and anesthetic. And I think we have to emphasize that there is no FDA indication for human use of this medication. What's scary is that even though a veterinary license is required for purchasing this drug, It can be purchased online at various sites that aren't even associated with veterinary use. And because of this, there's an increasing a need for regulation by government agencies to classify this drug as a controlled substance.
And as I understand it, showing up more and more frequently in drugs that are being used by individuals all the time. It's not an opioid, but it is often found with opioids. So why is that?
Which students are yes, xylazine, in terms of where it is most concentrated, it's usually in the eastern United States, and it has been found also in Puerto Rico and Canada. Closer to Pittsburgh, the most common site of use is in Philadelphia. It's also been found in Maryland and Connecticut and New York. The xylazine is a very difficult drug to find in that its appearance
when our young scholars are struggling with mental health issues.
It's usually mixed with fentanyl. Let me say that, and because it's usually mixed with fentanyl to extend the high of fentanyl, and it has to be pointed not everyone who uses fentanyl is aware that xylazine is present, and in most cases they are buying this drug not knowing that xylazine is present in the drug.
Dr. Gentile, this is Paul Rasmussen. I'm curious to know,
and your listening audience,
you were talking earlier about that this xylazine being added to like fentanyl, they're doing this because it extends the high, the intensity and the length of the high that they receive from taking the drugs, but what
program called Notice
this
Talk
is like,
Act
we already know fentanyl is highly toxic, and there's a lot of deaths due to fentanyl.
Make you a
I would assume xylazine makes it even more so.
And staff
certainly, because it extends the high.
Overdose
is treated with naloxone.
Active listeners. Difficult
it is only going to relieve the respiratory depression caused by the naloxone.
Some action steps, some
in the presence of xylazine,
the
sedation continues, however.
And
because this sedation continues, these patients are
at school
still
for work,
at risk.
Can see the signs and symptoms and know how to engage.
So how
we're with
would,
Dr. Anthony Gentile,
right now,
from
we obviously have many
Gateway Rehabilitation
Centers
so
and schools coming up here really
have
soon.
We made progress,
how would they engage
Dr.
to get this
dealing
training
overall
program
with people who are addicted
the
to
opioids? The easiest thing to do is to go to APAL.
I think we've made
Adam
significant
Paul,
progress.
AdamFrank.org/schools
can be exhibited,
and there's
in the fact
information
that we're learning
right on our
more
website
about why
where folks
addiction
are able to go
occurs.
In. And what we're asking is not
and
just
the more we learn
community
about it,
layer
the more
involved.
Sometimes
we find
out that addiction is actually a disease.
Family caregivers are worried as well.
It's a disease of the reward system in our brain.
That over 4 out of 5
and
Americans
are often
want
asked,
those resources.
Why
in.
Do you continue
Notice Talk
using
Act because of our federal grant, Larry?
Or this drug
is at no cost to the school,
even
and
though
at
you
no
know
cost
that
to
it has significant consequences.
So all they have to do is
and
reach out to
can
us
result
and let us
in
help them
mortality
get scheduled
and,
so we
and
can
morbidity,
bring this
significant
so if you're
morbidity.
A parent or a caregiver and you
when
hear about Notice Talk Act, again, that's
APAF.org/school. And these drugs are
and they'll
used
be taking
because
the first
our
step,
brain
to get this program into Western Pennsylvania.
Notice
all the brains
Talk
that have,
Act. And again,
that our brain has
APAF.org.
Evolved to prevent harm to our bodies.
And while you're with us,
all these brains
have the
are dysregulated.
Normal high anxiety
when it
about
comes
going back to school for
addiction.
Many, right?
And the sooner
oh, there,
we recognize
there
that addiction
I mean,
is a disease,
time,
no different
Larry.
Than diabetes,
back
no different
to school
than
just starts the fall season
and has to
so
be
forth,
treated
football,
as a disease.
Soccer, all these other things coming
have
up. But the reality of it is some children have had a break. And that very same APA poll that
this,
I told your listeners
our
about,
treatments
the
are
number
going to
one concern
much more
of parents and their children coming back to school.
With regard to xylazine.
Cyberbullying and
bullying.
With
regard to xylazine,
42% of our polls responded
to emphasize here.
That was their number one concern.
It's not only the
and then you have 32%
that can occur
general mental health concerns. And then
especially
this won't come as a surprise to you, Larry, or most of your audience. 30% of our polled respondents said social media and the use of social media was it was a big concern. So we got to do more to help get the best for our children. And we believe at the top end, Notice Talk Act is one way to do it. The training again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's free
and ulcerations
at no cost to the school, at no cost to the parents.
Which can
it only takes about 2.5 hours, so you don't have to give up a whole school day to do it. And more importantly, what we're able to do is do a train-the-trainer model if a school reaches out early enough. So what we can do is train that homeroom teacher, and she or he or they can train the rest of the school themselves. So you don't have some out-of-the-bounds approach. We're using a very home cooking approach to bring this program to schools across the country, but in Western Pennsylvania in particular.
Great information, and appreciate your time this morning.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, Larry.
Raul Andrews, Jr., Executive Director of the American Psychiatric Association Foundation. Worth reaching out, maybe, especially the concerns of bullying.
That's number one on my list. I remember what it was like when I was going to school. There was a couple guys that were bullies.
Appreciate it.
I didn't know at the time, you know, how to effectively respond to them when they were, you know, when they were picking on me or my friends.
Emily's feeling it now, and that is back
I can only imagine what it must be like dealing with it now.
Care of with social media component,
you get
right?
It done
anonymous ability
away.
For many
some
to
parents are really excited about
put things out there. It's a real
school,
concern. And when a child says they're
weeks
being bored,
for example,
everybody
in,
needs
Ringgold
to pay attention.
Get started, and we've already got our first school threat.
You go.
When I saw the story this morning,
A-C-Y.
It's 7 o'clock.
And tomorrow morning in our 7 o'clock hour at 7:35, you know, we're going to announce our Lifetime Achievement Awardee for our Hometown Heroes event, which is coming up
crazy
October 8th at the Lamont. It's going to be an incredible evening. And back to if you know somebody who's doing extraordinary things in our community, we want to know about it. Go to kdkradio.com, and there you'll find a nomination page. I'll give you a hint, Paul. This Lifetime Achievement Awardee
of that
is
it just
year appropriate.
In many of those regions.
It's been his year
appropriate.
Meaning,
to hear this week, about
it all lines up for this individual. Okay. This will be a little bit of icing on what has been a very tall cake.
Now the wheels are spinning.
7:35 tomorrow.
Also the cost.
We will make that announcement.
It'll be fun.
It's going to be this has been
like it was
a lot of fun. And in fact, I was thinking
the kids all the things.
You know, we should reach out to some of our previous Lifetime Achievement Awardees as well. Some of which have been, I told you, I ran into former Penguins GM, Hockey Hall of Famer Craig Patrick over the weekend at a wedding.
You're such a name dropper.
Well, I don't mean to drop names.
What a great story. I mean,
people don't realize the impact that he and his family have had. So he's one. Then I was thinking, okay, let's go over the list. Dr. Stanley Marks, head of oncology, UPMC, who's really an amazing treasure for medical research and what he's done in this town. Then you have Smokey Robinson for his lifetime achievement in music, using his music as a bridge to help people heal and raise money for a lot of charities. Then there's, you know, and I have a list.
Yep.
Jack Bogut,
a
right
good
here.
One. Yep, a good list.
Jack Bogut. Who obviously built a career here at KDKA back in the day. He's still here in this town with his wife, Joni. And I was thinking, so when I talked to this person that we're going to announce tomorrow, I said, you're in good company. And when he heard some of the names, he was like, wow.
That's great.
So I'm excited about it. What else is happening this week? Steelers have another preseason game Saturday. The Buffalo Bills come to Acrisure. Love to hear Coach Tomlin over the weekend talk about Friday night's game with the Texans. Because, as you know, Russell Wilson didn't play. And a whole bunch of other players that you would normally see in a game either played very little or not at all. So what you're seeing basically out of the 90-man roster for each team are the guys that are on the bubble in many cases, trying to make a name for themselves to get on that final team roster.
And we saw a couple performances from new faces on Friday night that I think are going to make the team. Beanie is number one on that list.
Yeah, what did you say? What did you like?
I would say I like the intensity of the way the defense was playing. I thought their intensity level was high. I have a feeling that this could be a year where the defense is going to be, will outshine the offense. The offense may not be very flashy, might be a team that controls the ball, a lot of running, fine, no problem. But I think that the defense is going to be the big winner, the big star this year could be the defense.
Yeah, on paper, man.
Yeah, right?
Look at the names. It's incredible. Who's on our defense?
The more you add to the defensive line, the better they play, makes players like TJ Watt even bigger stars because their jobs get easier as a result. They're able to achieve or accomplish more because the people who are playing around them are a handful, right?
Yeah, and guess what? Training camp is going to come to an end, too.
How many days left now?
I'll give you the full rundown. You're looking at training camp. Let's see. Schedule. Today, practice time. I'm looking at 10:30. And then Wednesday at 10:30. And basically, that's it. They come home and... And then once they get to, you know, that's the rundown. That's their schedule. So it has, to me, flown by.
Seems like it just got started.
I know. And it's going to be a beautiful day. If you're headed up that way, you kind of hit the jackpot on weather. So they're practicing today. They practiced yesterday at 2:55. Then Coach Tomlin kind of gave a breakdown of the weekend and reacting to Friday. It's difficult because the game is not the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the regular season comes, it's a whole different game. So this is a ramped-up version of trying to find out who's going to make the roster. That said, what did you think about the kickoff? Did you watch some of the kickoffs?
Yes, and I don't have a problem with it. I think, and I've said this earlier and I'll repeat it, I feel like this is an area where the Steelers can do really well. If they can learn to capitalize and exploit this new kickoff format. And the reason why I say that is because they have a player who's a really, really top return man in Cordarrelle Patterson. This guy is super talented return person, and I just feel like if they can crack the code and make this work, that could be a big plus for the team. I'm sure that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, for those that don't know, it's a brand new, maybe one of the most revolutionary single changes the league has made for a play in memory.
It could change a whole year. It could be the difference between if you're good at it or you're good at stopping it, or both, which would be great. This could be the difference between making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, or winning a Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to change. The number of returns is going to triple, is what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's basically a glorified run play.
Yep.
But it's really unusual. But you know what? It came and went, and nobody made that big a deal about it.
I like what I'm seeing. I think that there's a great potential for a lot of big plays this year.
Yeah, we'll see. And they'll do it again Saturday night against Tatanka, Buffalo. This is the Big K Morning Show, and every Monday at this time, we welcome Brian Caranta, Secure Money Advisors, looking ahead, in some cases not far ahead, to retirement and estate planning issues. How you doing, Brian?
I am doing great, Larry. How are you today?
I want to talk about something that may seem obvious to someone with your caliber of financial understanding, and that is annuities. You talk about it a lot. It's an important piece of many people's portfolios and how you structure it. First and foremost, what is an annuity?
Well, first off, you're going to find that I've gone against conventional wisdom for a long time. And once people read my book, Right Track Your Retirement, and they understand what an annuity really is, they're going to have a completely different outlook on it. So first off, an annuity is an insurance contract, okay, with an insurance company. An annuity is not an investment. An annuity is designed to insure your income. That is it. And the problem with the financial industry is that the annuity is sometimes recommended as an investment versus an insurance policy against running out of money. So that's what we have to first understand, is that it's an insurance policy that pays you a monthly income so that you don't run out of money before you die.
So give me an example of how you would utilize an annuity.
Perfect. So do you remember Kirby vacuum cleaner?
I do.
My grandfather had a Kirby store. My grandfather retired from Kirby. He got a pension from them. A pension is an annuity, okay? It's an annuity provided by your employer. Social Security is an annuity. It's an annuity provided by the federal government. The annuities that you can buy privately on your own through the private market, there's three main types. There's an immediate annuity, a variable annuity, and an indexed annuity. Now, the immediate annuity is what most people think about when they think about annuities. They think they're going to give a sum of money to an insurance company. In return, the insurance company is going to pay them monthly income. But if they die, they lose the rest of the remaining balance of their account. So if we just gave the insurance company $500,000 for $70,000 a year for the rest of your life, and you die in year one, the insurance company is keeping the remainder of the money. And that is true, Larry. That is true. But that was the old style annuities. Nobody uses those anymore. So the second type of annuity is a variable annuity. The variable annuity is sold as an investment, right? And in fact, the variable annuity is not my favorite type of annuity because it still invests your money in the stock market. It's very, very, very high in fees. As a matter of fact, if you have a variable annuity, at Secure Money Advisors, we created something called the Variable Annuity Escape. There's about 15 questions that we call the insurance company with you and ask. And what most people find out is that they're paying 3 to 4% a year in fees in those annuities. They're very expensive. And once they find out how these annuities work, my question usually is, had you known all this before you went into it, would you have signed on the dotted line? And most of them say no. The last one is the indexed annuity. The indexed annuity was created in 1995 to keep up with the index mutual funds. So basically, the indexed annuity does something that no other annuity does. If the market goes up, you make money. If the market goes down, you don't lose any money. Now, the first thing people tell me when I tell them that is, that's too good to be true. Yeah. How does that work? It's not, and here's why. Because you're not going to get all the gains. What that means is if the stock market goes up 10%, you might only get 70% of those gains. So you get 7%, right?
Right.
You don't get 10% that the market went up. But let's say you put $100,000 in. Your $100,000 just went to $107,000. But if the next year the market went down 50%, rather than you going to $53,000 or $54,000, you're going to stay at $107,000. Why? Because you were willing to give up some of the upside to protect your downside. And here's what I always say to folks, and it's in my book. At this point in your life, when you're close to retirement, you don't need all the gains of the market. You have to protect yourself from the future losses. The losses will hurt you more than the gains will help you. And the reason why we, as a fiduciary firm, like the index annuity is because not only can we get growth without losing money, but we can also ensure a certain amount of monthly income for the client. So that hopefully that helps the listeners. Again, they can go to righttrackpittsburgh.com, get a copy of my book. I highly recommend you read it. I put a lot of detail in this book about understanding annuities. And I think once you understand them, you'll see where they may potentially fit into your retirement planning strategy.
Yeah, I feel just one word, which is one piece of a potential portfolio and plan, is already divvied up into three different descriptions and definitions. That's why you need somebody like Brian to work with you. And you can, again, go to righttrackpittsburgh.com. Check out Brian Caranta, Secure Money Advisors. Brian, great stuff. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, Larry. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
D3 News Radio, KDKA. Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister is in studio. We're going to talk coming up in our next hour a little bit about what's going on in the political world. You may have heard there's a big race.
There's not a whole lot going on these days.
Every day, it's the gift that keeps giving in terms of storylines and Donald Trump claiming he's been hacked, his campaign, by Iran.
Yes.
Then you have, he's going to do an interview tonight with Elon Musk.
Yes.
Then you have Joe Biden's sit down with Robert Costa of CBS, finally airing yesterday morning on the CBS Sunday Morning Show. And then, of course, Harris and Walz will continue their campaign trail.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and it seems as though they're constantly trying to one-up each other to see who can get, as they used to say back in the day, above the fold and keep people's attentions while driving them to the polls. And more importantly, Larry, and this is what, you know, people forget about, this is also the time of the season where it's less about trying to get their vote, it's more about trying to get their money to fund these campaigns.
And apparently both have been pretty successful in raising money. Does it surprise you that Harris has raised as much money since Joe Biden stepped down?
No, because people forget that Joe Biden in 2020 was the stabilizing force, and that's why he got the vote. Now they need enthusiasm that he just could not provide. She's providing that now. There's two camps. There's a camp that is anti-Trump. There's a camp that's pro-Trump, and there's really not a middle. So all the anti-Trump money finally found a place where they thought there's enthusiasm here, and there's a real chance to win here, and the checkbooks have been opening up.
When you hear Joe Biden speak, it becomes very obvious that he's slowed down, cognitive, whatever the issues are, but he still has to run a country for the next 5 months.
Yes, he does. And I think that from a campaign perspective, I think the plan was for him to be a stopgap president. And then once the red wave didn't come in 2022, I think he changed his mind and the party didn't. If he were to have just focused on the 4 years of being president for one time, a lifelong goal that he's had since 1972, he could have been a transformative president and kind of avoided the pothole that he hit in the middle part of 2024. And I think we're finally seeing a course correct on that, where he may be able to finish well and perhaps, you know, with the Olympic theme, pass the baton on to the next generation.
We got a lot to talk about with Lenny McAllister in studio. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, sir.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Happy Monday. Hope you had a nice weekend. It certainly was weather-wise. Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister, who is on Sundays here, but you have a relationship, as we just mentioned, it goes back with KDK 10 years. For those
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That don't know, born and raised in Penn Hills.
Yes.
Famous Penn Hills. We were talking about all the people that have come from Penn Hills, of which there are many.
I'm riding their coattails. So.
Well, including you. And then give people a little thumbnail of your resume, because it's really impressive.
Well, from here, I went down to a little college where the greatest basketball shooter in NBA history also went to school, played by the name of Davidson College. I was down there, played baseball down there, came back up, was supposed to be out of school for a semester. It ended up being about a decade. Eventually went back down to Davidson, graduated, stayed in North Carolina, then went to the south side of Chicago for 3 years, had an opportunity to be there while President Obama was in office, and some of the most turbulent times over the last 20 years, the 2010 midterm election and the like, and then eventually in 2013, came back home to Pittsburgh.
You ran for office.
Yes.
A high office.
Yes. U.S. Congress in 2016, Republican nominee. It is informally known that I am the first ever congressional candidate to win by way of a write-in vote in 2016. You had to get 1,000 write-in votes. We tripled that, basically. And it was a very interesting time to run as a moderate Republican when Donald J. Trump was at the top of the ticket and Hillary Clinton was on the other side. It was a very polarizing time. And I remember back then, Larry, that we used to think that maybe this is the worst that the polarization could get, because you had two very unlikable candidates at that time. And 10 years later, we've basically, as a country, been saying, hold my beer, because it's been getting worse.
It has, in just the last few weeks, changed incredibly, because you had Donald Trump and Joe Biden, here we go again, and then suddenly an assassination attempt on the eve of the Republican National Convention. Then the next Sunday, Joe Biden steps out of the race. Kamala Harris comes in. Then we wait to find out who her running mate will be. Many thought it would be our governor, Josh Shapiro. Ends up being Minnesota's Tim Walz. And now game on. And I can't believe how much has changed in such a short period of time. And yet it seems like we got to wait 3 months to get this thing settled.
Well, it's going to be an ongoing developing soap opera, if you will. But the interesting thing about what the Democrats did was, Larry, is they ended up filling the enthusiasm gap. People forget that Donald Trump has always had a plurality without having a majority. So he's going to stay at his 44, 45, 46% because that's what he's been doing for 10 years. He won in 2016 because he had a very unpopular candidate that had votes streaming away to Jill Stein and other candidates. That's not going to happen with other candidates. So now that the Democrats have a candidate that their base can at least be excited about and raise money, and then you have a Tim Walz that is from a Midwest state, has a unique background. He has military in his background. He's a high school teacher and a football coach. If that doesn't scream middle America, I don't know what does. That's something different than what Josh Shapiro has been. Josh Shapiro has a presidential resume. Tim Walz has the guy that you grew up with that was your backup linebacker in grade school, and then he ends up doing good things. That's a different type of feel, and that's a feel that helps Kamala Harris, somebody that gets to reinvent herself on this presidential stage. That bolsters that enthusiasm. That's part of the problem that the Trump campaign's having with right now, is how do we frame her with all this going on?
Well, a lot of name calling, obviously. Trump suggesting that her crowds have been artificially generated by computers, AI, if you will. I don't believe that's true, but then the name calling, race shaming that goes on. When are the candidates going to sit down and give us the actual bullet points of what they're going to do, physically do, as opposed to just sweeping rhetoric and, again, basically going, you know, now the Democrats are calling them weird, and Donald Trump's continuing his, you know, name-calling too.
Larry, it's sad, but it's going to be as late as possible. And a lot of that, unfortunately, goes back to the American people. That's some of our fault, because we have allowed people to run for high offices and not tell us what they're going to do to make our communities better. Instead, we've allowed negative campaigning to be even more effective than it used to be, and we've allowed even presidential debates, congressional debates, senatorial debates to be more mudslinging than exchanging points and information.
It's going to be interesting September 10th, because they have agreed to at least that debate. There is a suggestion there would be two additional, but Harris's team hasn't confirmed that. But they have said, yeah, we're going to debate on September 10th. It's going to be a little different this time for the Democrats, because you have a former prosecutor who's used to being in a courtroom, who's used to being able to face great adversity and to see how they do against each other.
Well, the other thing is, Larry, as a prosecutor, you're used to redirecting, re-shaming. You're used to cutting out the clutter and getting back to a premise. And that's something that Joe Biden struggled with in June that Kamala Harris is not going to struggle with. So when Donald Trump tries to confound issues, if she's on her game, she'll be able to, no, we're not talking about Iran. We're talking about the economy. We're not talking about the economy from 2019. We're talking about a post-COVID economy. She'll be able to reframe issues quickly. And that makes a difference when you only have 90 seconds at a time.
And those who wonder why are debates important, look at the last one. It ended up unraveling Joe Biden's campaign to get reelected.
And it's more of a chance where people can see so much of you at one time. 100 million people watching you at once. You're not going to even get that at the conventions.
We're with Lenny McAllister. Coming up next, Elon Musk will sit down with Donald Trump. What can we expect? In studio with Lenny McAllister, once a congressional candidate and so much more. You're in the education world, too.
Yes.
For those that don't know, how important is that in this day and age to educate our young people?
And unfortunately, it's also become a political football. We're always talking about funding. We're always talking about curriculum. We're talking about what values are going to be taught in the schools. And it's, you know, you and I were talking off air, Larry, about the polarization of America. And unfortunately, even something as basic as education has become so polarized now.
I think we'd all agree education is absolutely essential and important, always has been, always will be. And then it's usually the biggest line item budget.
Yes. In the state budget, yes.
Right.
And it's not just here.
Right. And how that money is spent, utilized, and who decides who gets to say, do what, and read what is at controversy now, too. Speaking of politics, let's talk about Donald Trump having a interview opportunity with a big fan of his who happens to be a mega billionaire, Elon Musk, who is also the owner of what was named Twitter, is now X.
It will be very interesting to see if the Trump campaign can get the former president to say one or two things that they want to stick to the current vice president on the campaign trail. If this is just an opportunity for two guys that see the world similarly to pontificate about their grievances, this is not going to get the biggest bang for their buck. However, if they're able to say, Mr. President, if you can just make sure you hit Kamala Harris with at least one or two things that she's going to have to respond to, you think about what the critique of her right now is. She's not facing tough questions. He can make her face a tough question with this interview with Elon Musk, but that takes a discipline that he generally does not show on the campaign trail.
He had an opportunity, in my opinion, after the assassination attempt, and he talked about this being a moment in history and for him to unite the country. That narrative was intriguing to a lot of people who maybe were on the muddle. His supporters will always be his supporters, no matter what he says or does. That's clear. But then when his speech came on Thursday night of the Republican National Convention, he was on point with that messaging, the united messaging. But then 20 minutes in, it became more the Donald Trump that we've all known for now 10 years.
What they should have done at the RNC convention is kind of like what they do with the award shows, like the Oscars.
Play the music.
Just play the music and say, Mr. President, you got 10 minutes. When you hear this music, you got 90 seconds. And literally, I would have told the I'd have probably gotten fired for this, but I'd have told the networks, go to break, because it would have at least got the message across to him, we can't do this. But it would have also kept him in a more positive light, a more unifying light, and then make, at the time, the Biden-Harris campaign respond to that. Even if he had that momentum now with Harris walls, there still would have been, okay, well, my tone is not divisive and my economy was better than yours. You know, my tone is not as divisive as it used to be and the inflation wasn't as bad as yours. That now we're talking about issues that he was winning on in the polls. He moved away from that, unfortunately, for him.
And Joe Biden stepping aside from the race has electrified the party that was basically, I mean, with Joe Biden, they had nowhere to go.
Well, baby boomers are back on the scene, and Gen X is now starting to be on a scene. I mean, this is a baby boomer ticket. The last baby boomer we saw on the ticket from the Democrats that excited folks was a guy by the name of Barack Obama. Another person with a funny name from a liberal state, but found a way to connect because they were more personable and more relatable to a wider swath of voters.
Just as a sidebar, Josh Shapiro was passed over when a lot of people thought he would be the guy, and there are people suggesting he had a cadence that he had developed stumping for Harris that seemed Barack Obama like.
That's not a bad person. If you're going to have somebody to model yourself after, he's not a bad one. And I think that for people think that Josh Shapiro missed an opportunity. Josh Shapiro is not a guy, and there are certain people like this throughout the world. They're not auditioning for number two. You don't talk like a number two. You don't walk like a number two. He doesn't do that. So even for him, for Walls to take that role, I thought it would go to somebody like a Roy Cooper, similar background, similar Purple State, versus a Shapiro who can still now grow into being a chief executive on a smaller scale in the Commonwealth and then go back on the big stage in 28 or 32.
Lenny McAllister, good to see you.
Good to see you, kind sir. God bless
you all.
We'll
talk again. Check him out on Sundays.
2 to 5.
And we'll have you back, if you don't mind, as we go through the next 3 months.
You got to bring donuts. If you bring donuts, I'm coming back, Larry.
I can make that happen.
I hear you can.
There are no shortage of topics. So tomorrow it'll be what the interview actually
yes.
develops into with Elon Musk tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
The Olympics in Paris, France, have come to an end. 10 days of competition, some controversy, a lot of excitement, and by almost all accounts, Paris did a tremendous job of hosting the Summer Games.
126 medals, was it, for the U.S. this year?
Yes.
I think that's right, yeah.
40 gold, the next nearest country, China, at 91. But they had 40 gold, too. So, successful Olympics for the U.S. And we'll start with some wrap-up coverage from CBS. Here's Chanel Call.
The Paris Olympics went out with a bang as fireworks engulfed Paris's national stadium. It was a night of pomp and pageantry. The Paris 2024 closing ceremonies celebrated the amazing moments that we saw during these past 2 weeks, as well as a breathtaking handover to Los Angeles for the next Games in 2028. It was a mission possible for Tom Cruise, who swooped into the Parisian stadium to take the Olympic flag back to Los Angeles. The night also saw sensational performances on the Paris stage, including the Star Spangled Banner by Her. Then the party shifted to Los Angeles, where Snoop Dogg, Billie Eilish, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers were there ready to entertain the crowds gathered in Long Beach. Swimmer Katie Ledecky and rower Nick Mead celebrated the Team USA as the closing ceremony flag bearers. And Team USA topped the medal count with 126 in all, but it was a draw in the gold medal race, with the U.S. and China taking 40 each. But Team USA could have won more in the world. Works. Gymnast Jordan Chiles was ordered to return her bronze medal because of a technicality. But USA Gymnastics says it has video evidence and plans to fight this decision. CBS's Jamie Yukas has more.
A controversial end to the games for American gymnast Jordan Chiles. The International Olympic Committee stripped her of her bronze medal in the floor exercise. Initially, Chiles finished fifth in Monday's competition. Her coach appealed, saying her athletic difficulty score was under credited, and her score was adjusted. But Olympic arbitrators ruled the appeal missed the one-minute deadline. The medal will now be given to Team Romania's Anna Barbosu. USA Gymnastics said they were devastated by the ruling. Teammate Simone Biles wrote on Instagram, "Sending you so much love, Jordan. Keep your chin up, Olympic champ. We love you." The U.S. Olympic Committee plans to appeal. With a nail-biter of an ending, Team USA women's basketball won their 8th consecutive gold medal, defeating host country France, 67-66.
Glad the USA came out on top.
Also setting records, the U.S. women's national team.
It's a dream come true to win a gold medal.
In her first major tournament with her players, soccer coach Emma Hayes led the team to secure a record 5th gold medal.
Why is the love and camaraderie of this team so important to you?
Because I think when you enjoy being around each other, when you play well together, in the hardest moments, you've got each other's backs. It's just like a family.
Team USA and the Olympic Committee now moves to Los Angeles for the Summer 2028 Games, where the mayor told me after attending these games, a transportation plan for the notoriously clogged city will be her top priority. Jamie Yucas, CBS News, Paris.
And there was one little fly in the ointment yesterday, and I mean one. They had to seal off around the Eiffel Tower because there was a madman climbing up.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Right. Yep.
You'll see the video.
Yeah,
if you haven't, and you think, who are these people? Now, there's a very small, but yet they are well-known climbers that like to do this kind of thing. Obviously,
skyscrapers are a big one.
Height of the closing ceremonies day, the final day of the Olympics, you got this hoo-ha up there halfway up the Eiffel Tower on the outside climbing those girders.
Not getting enough attention,
like
apparently.
Like a spider monkey.
Right.
Meanwhile, so it was a fun diversion. I found myself getting pulled into different, in some cases,
his late son, Bo,
different
and I think
sports that I wouldn't have necessarily paid much attention to.
And what was your takeaway? I mean, what did you wind up liking that you did, that was new?
I found myself fascinated by track and field. And I watched some of our athletes, and they are all in such amazing physical shape.
Yeah.
And just how close, like hundredths of a second, could separate a gold to a silver to a bronze.
We had a conversation.
When they're running, whether it's my favorite track event probably would be the
and he said, Dad,
the
I
baton
know,
passing.
I know it's going to happen. So I'm going to be okay.
The relay? Yeah, and the relays.
The relays? Like the four men, Dad, four women teams.
Yeah, I get it.
I really, really enjoy that. And said, and the transitions, the handoffs, and the lead can change two or three times in the race.
Here's what's crazy is I'm getting anxious, hoping they don't drop the baton, watching the transition.
Right.
You're like, go, girls.
It's great fun to watch. It really is. And just watching the sprinters, and they go down the line, and their legs are moving, and that's about all. I mean, they're so rock solid. You don't see anything but just this burst of speed.
Aired yesterday morning on CBS.
It's an amazing thing to watch, huh?
Very, yeah, so very much.
The Olympics are history now.
You know, a lot of emotion.
If you didn't hear,
very
literally had Tom Cruise sweep in at times.
Another big interview's coming up.
You know, the next
we have
Olympic
former President Trump speaking with Elon Musk tonight. He'll be on X tape back to
Los
the social
Angeles.
Media platform
yeah,
that Musk bought this back in 2022
done all for $44 billion. You know,
CBS's campaign reporter Olivia Rinaldi has a little bit on this.
That interview will be happening at 8 p.m. Eastern on X, formerly known as Twitter, which is Elon Musk's social media platform. Trump will actually be joining from his own handle, his old Twitter handle, Real Donald Trump. What's interesting about this is that account was suspended after the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. Elon Musk reinstated that account shortly after taking over the platform.
You can go to KDKRadio.com.
And for those who don't know, Elon Musk is
somebody,
a big supporter
recognized
of the former president. So
and that's
their,
that's a fairly recent switch for him.
Without looking
keep
for
that
anything
in mind
for themselves.
We're going to take care of that, too.
Yeah,
so,
he was not a Trump backer the last time around. Nice. He is this
tonight. Elon Musk will
make sure you
Donald
check out
Trump.
Our
I'm
hometown
sure
heroes domination
over
page.
The weekend.
KDKRadio.com.
Donald Trump saying that
and tomorrow at 7:35 we're going to announce our lifetime.
And there's even more to this Iran angle than I knew
very excited
until
about
just a few
that.
Minutes ago, Larry.
We think when you hear the name,
Oliver Wiseman writing for the Free Press.
We chose this
I get an email from them in the morning called the front page. And here's what they're saying about Iran. Working hard to influence the U.S. presidential election.
How about a hint?
Back on Friday, researchers at Microsoft's Threat Analysis Center raised the alarm, warning Tehran was behind a hack of a senior official on a presidential campaign. On Saturday, the Trump campaign said it was successfully targeted, and they pointed the finger at Iran. Now,
why not?
Microsoft's analysts also report
the
Iranian regime is behind several fake news
and a few other cities too,
targeting American voters,
But
and they note one Iranian group may be setting itself up for activities that are even more extreme, including intimidation or inciting violence against political figures or groups, with the ultimate goals of inciting chaos, undermining authorities, and sowing doubt about election integrity.
Good.
You ever have a
every
mouse
time
in your
I
house,
see the word never Iran
well, neither
in a news
did Michael
report.
Bartley.
They're doing something
just
awful
days ago
somewhere
and
in the
I'm
world.
I'm going to ask him to come in
and
here
this,
after the news at 9:30.
I may have
on guard
just
now.
Was unaware, but I'm.
We need to be very careful about what
possible,
we're getting our
but
where we're getting
so.
Our news. And
we did.
Very careful
I have to
about
change
what
my mind
repost.
On that one. I have to change my
and
story. When I was growing up, we had one
fall for these
rooting
lies.
Around in the insulation,
and
it just makes me sick to my stomach to think that this is what's going on.
The studs.
This is a country, Larry.
We're renovating
the backseat the downstairs, and they got in there.
They have
was making all kinds of noise and stuff, and eventually we're able to get it out of there and turn it loose.
Or every week in Tehran,
that's
and they
funny, man.
And they still
yeah,
shout
it's memorable.
And chant,
I remember
death
that.
To America.
All right, back to
they're
school,
to
and I have a young guest in studio, and I met him at Giant Eagle Market District
in some cases,
over the years,
but
and he expressed an interest in broadcasting, which I tried to talk him out of. His name's Alex Brown. He is a graduate of North Catholic, lives in the Cranberry area.
Story today about the Trump campaign.
You finally came in to see what goes on behind the scenes.
It is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here, Mr. Richard. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's our honor, and you are on your way to Alabama.
That's right. Roll Tide.
The Crimson Tide.
We can handle.
How did you decide on going to Alabama? And what's the attraction?
Well, they came to Acrisure Stadium last year as a part of a recruiting session. They have a great recruiting office here in the Pittsburgh area.
I didn't know that.
They have a tremendous recruiter, Billy Rude, who does a tremendous job in the area of recruiting people from all the schools in the Whippeo area to gather students to go to Alabama. And they had a big event at Acrisure, and my dad said I should go and we should see it. And we were very interested by their pitch. So then we went down last summer to go visit the campus in Tuscaloosa. We took a tour of the communications college that they have down there. They're one of the top public relations schools in the country, but as a part of that building.
I thought they only played football there.
I know. They talk about football, too, as well. But they have a great, also creative media program, which encompasses their, like a mix between their news media and their sports media. Bridges the gap between the two. So that's what I'm going to be studying there. And they have a great opportunity for me down there, I think.
That's exciting, man. And you're driving down?
That's right. That's right. Two cars.
You're leaving on Thursday.
13-hour drive. But you gain an hour going down.
That's right.
Because it'll be central time.
Birmingham is probably the nearest big airport.
That's right. You can't even get a connecting. You'd have to get a connecting flight there. No direct flights.
To Birmingham?
Nope.
Used to back in the day.
Oh, I'm sure. But you can go to Atlanta and Nashville, both 3 hours away.
So do you have any siblings?
I have a younger sister.
So she's not going to school yet, obviously.
She's not. She'll be a junior at North Catholic this year.
How are your folks?
They're okay. They're
managing. The oldest goes to school, man. That's an emotional day.
I know. My grandparents, they'll be a little bit more upset.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you. I'm glad you came in to see, what goes on behind the curtain here. And you'll have to stay in touch and represent us down there in Tuscaloosa.
Well, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Richard. You're a great guy.
Sports information, and you want to broadcast.
Yes, sir.
Well, we do a lot of sports, high school sports here. And then, of course, the fans right next door. But I'm not going to let those guys take you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate your time.
You got it. Coming up 10 until 2, it is Marty Griffin and Get Marty, except it's Marty-less. He'll be back tomorrow from his summer hiatus. And
all his fans will be so happy.
And once again, Michael Bartley will be in the house. So, Michael, I wanted to snag you a little early because I've talked to no less than three people who came up to me and wanted to share their mouse stories because of you.
I went to church yesterday, and your name came up.
Why?
Because you keep going on about this mouse.
Hey,
and
Larry's
the mouse in the house, they said, hey, we love when Larry's talking about it. We love Larry, too. Michael, you and Larry are fun together, And I said, when did you hear? And they said, he was talking to you about that mouse. And then she said, did you get him?
Did you?
And I said, no, because I think, guess what?
He's still loose.
All right, ready? Andy Amrine, is that? Yeah.
Yeah, Andy from EV
okay,
True
so
Value.
Okay, so other than the traps, you know what he had? It's called mouse magic.
Yeah, it's supposed to have an odor that you can't smell.
It's like,
but it
not eucalyptus, what do you call it? Peppermint, kind of.
It repels mice, apparently.
The trap has moved.
Uh-oh.
But he's not in there. But I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, the peppermint, I don't know. By the way, thanks a lot, Paul Rasmussen, for ruining my life. I heard the two of you. I'm in there with Sam in the bullpen. I didn't know they called that the bullpen. And we heard Rasmussen going on about, we had a mouse in the bullpen. And that's where I go back with Sam to prepare for the Marty show. And I said, is this the bullpen? And she goes like this. Look, She goes, yeah, look behind you. Look on the floor. And there was a mouse trap.
Yep.
Okay, I have to stay in the newsroom now. Today's my last day in the bullpen. Thank you, Paul Rasmussen, for ruining my life.
Get in line. So you haven't found this.
No.
You know what?
No, I got, and now it's all public, and I got accosted at St. Roselia's yesterday. Oh, you're a big star there. When they're
Roselia's.
Yeah. We heard Larry talking to you about
great
it.
Great people in Greenfield.
Aren't they wonderful? Yeah. I'm telling you. Yep.
I've been to K-9, the funeral.
Oh, yeah. K-9. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's where I'll be. And you know, when they close St. Roselia's, one of these days, my one priest friend, I said, listen, I spent my whole life working so hard with raffles and 50-50 and that so that I can have my casket go down the aisle. And my priest friend, Michael, if it's a brew pub, it's okay. We'll get the keys. We'll still roll your casket down the aisle. Is that who's laughing?
Me.
Oh, you have a lot of nerve chiming in here. I can't work here now because there's a mouse over there.
Well, no, there isn't one. We haven't had one.
There's a mouse trap
for a decade since Andy Lindbergh was our producer.
Oh, what about
it's Andy's fault?
Oh, there he is. Guess who? He was with Weird Al yesterday. I didn't get an update. Did you?
No. Hey,
Andy, come on in.
We need the full story now.
Yeah, because I was jealous.
Andy.
I was jealous because Andy was on your show about the actress, you and
Helen Hunt.
Yeah, and then...
he went to Steel City Con, which was over in the Monroeville Convention Center that was saved from destruction.
He's on his way in. He's got to help somebody with something in the newsroom, but he'll be coming in a minute.
What could be more important than...
Yeah, I have no idea.
...than getting a Weird Al Yankovic
I know,
update.
He interviewed... And then my favorite thing, Paul Rasmussen, you'll love it, your cohort, Paul Alexander... Andy was in here on my show talking about paying $150 for a photo with Weird Al, and Rasmussen's behind him like this, going like doing that thing around his head like he's Andy. We wanted to know what happened.
Yeah,
you didn't care about us.
No, they silenced the newsroom because they're getting ready to do their crosstalk hit with.
You didn't
Pittsburgh
hear us
Today Live. Oh. Yeah, so yeah. It's a technical thing.
Oh,
so
I see.
He went to Steel City Con over the weekend. There were actually stunning number of stars there.
Yeah, Helen Hunt you interviewed,
Martin
and then
Sheen, all these major actors.
Yeah, the big line was for this Jared Padalecki, who's on a show called Supernatural, a CW show. He had probably the biggest line.
Wow, really?
I don't know much about the show, but apparently it's a big hit, cult favorite.
What about Helen?
Helen Hunt, a lot of people were there on Saturday to see her. She did a one day only.
And you didn't go up to her and say hi. I'm Andy. I'm Andrew there, Lindbergh from KDK Radio. I'm the one that interviewed you.
She would be like, who?
Yeah.
No, she was only there Saturday, and we went yesterday, so we were there to see Weird Al Yankovic. And
all right,
it was quite the line, and they had us outside, and then we had to go inside. They had a whole cattle. Cattle.
Was it really 150 bananas to get your picture with Weird Al?
And an autograph.
Oh, okay.
And then my boys got to meet him. They were a little stunned. They didn't say much.
How was Weird Al? Please tell me he was
nice. Oh, he's incredible. He's incredibly nice.
I heard he's really nice.
He's very nice, very kind. The great thing about a con like this is they know they're expecting fans. Uh-huh. So it's not like you're stopping somebody on a street, maybe they're having a bad day. They know, even if they are having a bad day in their personal life, they're still going to put a smile on because, you know, that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, and they're getting paid.
Did you see Martin Sheen?
I didn't see Martin Sheen. He had left too. Their schedules are very wishy-washy, so... another big hit was all the Karate Kid / Cobra Kai stars.
Oh, yeah.
Had very long lines. William Zabka, Billy Zabka, who plays Johnny Lawrence, his line was incredibly long. My wife was enjoying looking at him from afar.
he's one of those people.
Yeah, he is one of those people. He's a very handsome man. It's just cool. You see Britt Baker, who's a professional wrestler. She's from Pittsburgh, so she was there signing along with some other professional wrestlers. And they had the hosts of Double Dare and all that stuff. So very, very fun time.
You got to share your Weird Al photo. This is Weird Al's Polka Mania.
I must have called a thousand times to tell you I'm sorry for breaking your heart, but it don't matter. It clearly doesn't tear you apart.
Did you have to explain to your kids who Weird Al was?
No.
Why not?
They know. They know who he is. He's ubiquitous.
But years ago they're like, Daddy, why are you an Al?
I started listening, and then they got into it. So.
Where are you going next? You seem to be attracted to these oddball people and places.
they're going to be back in December for Steel City Con. They already have a few people announced. I think some of the...
Like who?
Lori Metcalf from Roseanne, along with Sarah Gilbert, who played Darlene, are the two names that I recognized. There's a few other ones. It's very wide-ranging.
Can you help... Michael with his mouse, please.
I can. You just get a trap and then it's over. I don't understand.
No, I have a trap.
Okay.
He made a mistake. He put the magic smell that repels him first.
Yeah, I think maybe he ran out.
So now he's probably in the bedroom.
Yeah.
All right. Under your pillow.
No.
We'll get a preview. Thank you, Andy. Share your picture of Weird Al.
Probably rooting around in the socks and underwear.
No! Yeah.
Every time you put your... BVDs.
I was so happy to get out of the house. I'm afraid of the mouse and come in here. And then Rasmussen says that there's a mouse over in the bullpen.
No, there was.
There's a mouse trap over there, Paul.
Well, you're right about that.
At this point, it's petrified. Don't worry about it. Coming up 10 until 2. It is Michael Bartley for Marty Griffin, who returns tomorrow from his summer vacation. What are you working on today?
Okay, we're going to do the tip tax. That's the Trump and Harris finally agree on something. Don't tax tips. Did you ever work in a restaurant?
I did. I started my career in Ponderosa. I was the potato fry and bun man.
Oh, wow.
And then
so you didn't get any tips, though, or did they share them?
No, they didn't share tips with us.
Oh.
And then I worked at Eaton Park. I was a cook.
I love Eaton Park.
Yeah,
you didn't get tips there either.
No, the cooks didn't get
tips. Did you know how to make a super burger?
Absolutely. I trained in the Rocks.
I did
300 breakfasts, buddy.
Oh, man.
I can flip an egg like the best of them. You remember when they used to say... There's always something special cooking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, when I was there, they weren't sure what it was. But go ahead. Tips.
Yeah. And then guess what? I'm interviewing your buddy. It's the 20th anniversary of Little Italy Days coming up. Starts Thursday.
Sal.
Yeah. That's your boy.
Sal Ricchetti.
Wait a minute. Last night I said, is it Ricchetti or Ricchetti?
Well,
and he said, Michael, it's both ways. Yeah. I've heard. Yeah, he doesn't.
If you're Italian, I understand it's Ricchetti.
Yeah.
But I
said Ricchetti. It is Ricchetti.
He's Bloomfield's finest.
I love Bloomfield.
He's also he has a band. Did you know this?
No, I didn't know that.
He has a Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh yes, I did know that.
Now he's got a Michael Jackson. But he's having Little Italy Days this week.
Yeah,
you should play.
I would love to. Oh.
Will you step in for me Thursday?
Why? What are you doing? You mean for the...
I'm going to see Bruce.
Oh. Why?
Springsteen.
Why, step in for what? The bocce?
Yeah.
What time is that there?
I think it's like 6. They have a celebrity bocce. They have the Irish and the...
I know. Fitz is on the Irish and the Irish...
Right. You got to play.
What side do you play? On the Irish side?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Maybe
my
I have to
My grandmother was 100%
I'm going to ask Sal, and I got to call Paul Martino to see... Isn't Paul like a big shot with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as there's free hors d'oeuvres, as Marty would say. All right, Michael Bartley. Good to see you, Michael.
Ditto.
And Alex Brown, who is a North Catholic grad.
What a nice young man.
Alabama. Good luck to you. You're going to do great.
Well, thank you very much, sir. It was a pleasure being here.
You got to come back and see us now. Don't forget us when you hit the big time.
I won't.
I'm going to start being nice to North Catholic people now. You're a nice guy.
This is like watching power streams.
Hey, this was
cross.
War over the years, Central versus North.
I know, but now that we've gotten away from the football rivalry, but now we're starting to come back in the other sports.
Yeah, we're
going to
be friends. We're friends now.
Yes.
Can't we all just get along?
Just like I'm friends with Ellen Gamble.
Thank you, guys.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.